we're going to make it. Yeah. I think you're planning on moving back in next weekend, right? You know? But, you know, after just a few days together, I can truly say, and this can only happen this fast in kingdom, that you are now our friend. And that means more to me than your ability to preach and teach and unpack gospel and be prophetic and all that. You know, it's good to have kingdom friends of like precious faith. So Sandy is here today. She's very prophetic. I believe that the dependence on walking into the end time gospel, you know, the first shall be last. Remember, the first was absolutely packed with the fivefold ministry. That's what Jesus birthed in the church. He even said, I have placed these in the church. And so it's going to be important for us to unpack the fivefold ministry. With that in mind, that's why it's good to have people like Sandy who are so prophetic and operate with prophetic people and have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in America to come and speak to us and release a prophetic gift in the house. And so I know you're project manager with Elijah List. You've been on American Family Radio. You're just active in more things than I could mention. And so we're just honored to have you here, and so honored that we would like to display our honor to you by welcoming you to the platform. Hope, would you welcome Sandy McGuire as she comes.
Good morning. Good morning. I am the one who's honored to be here. So good morning, and thank you for the beautiful welcome. Wendy, just FYI, I sent you another email. It's a video to play in just a few minutes. Not immediately. Whew, what a beautiful time in worship this was. I had the honor to come to be invited on Thursday night and get to know some of you. Who was here Thursday? Oh, wonderful. Awesome. Did anybody wake up feeling different on Friday? All right. Awesome. I did too. That makes a few of us. Wonderful. Well, it was an honor to be here Thursday. It was an honor to spend the weekend with your pastors. I feel most honored about that and get to know them and become friends. I feel as if I know you by knowing your pastors. It says a whole lot about those who serve and those who have given their lives to serve in the kingdom. It says a whole lot. And so this is a beautiful, beautiful ministry. GCSSM is incredible. If I lived in the town that, if I lived around here, I'd be attending GCSSM, Gulf Coast Supernatural School of Supernatural Ministry. What an incredible ministry. And so if you've been thinking about signing up and have yet to sign up, boy, what an opportunity. So this morning, while we were in worship, the Lord began stirring my heart about a few things, and he gave me a couple of different words. But first I want to pray. Where's the ministry team? Would you raise your hand if you're on the ministry team? Raise your hand. The worship, is that worship team? Thank you. The worship team. Ministry team, you're amazing. Thank you. I just have to say, you blessed my life this morning. Worship team, raise your hand. Awesome. Okay. While in worship, the Lord gave me something for the worship team. And I'm going to play that video in a few minutes. You didn't get the email yet? Okay. I sent it to Wendy Z. Him. Okay, I sent it on my phone. From my phone to your email. It might be that I didn't have Wi-Fi, or it might take a couple minutes. It'll come. Thank you. All right, well, let's begin in prayer before we go any further. Thank you, God. We praise you this morning. Can this mic go far back? Is there a, okay. We praise you this morning. I thank you, Lord. We thank you for the morning. We thank you for lives represented here. We thank you, Lord, even for those who walked in with great disappointments this morning. I felt so heavy on my heart, and even in this section, heaviness and weights. And so, Lord, we thank you for every life, every person, every bit, piece, measurement of hope that has been held up, suspended, and deferred. We thank you because today you're in this house, Lord. And we thank you, God, that today there are promises to be fulfilled and breakthroughs to come. Even as I'm saying this prayer, Lord, I thank you for stirring in our hearts the seeds that have been sown in this place for years. I thank you, Lord, for the ground that's been broken, hard cement ground that has been broken in this territory. I thank you, Lord, that first that ground had to be broken in our lives before making a huge difference in this region. And that is not only what this church is created to do, but to make a gigantic tsunami-size wave in this region and throughout the rest of the country. I thank you, Lord, that your work has started in this house first. I thank you, Lord, for much that is being held onto. I see hearts holding on so tight to things. And there are some that have yet to embrace the mightiness, the mighty move, and just the beauty of God. Because your heart, I see some, your heart is held up because you have questions. If you embrace the power of God, but what about this in my life? Then what about, and it has to, how is that going to explain the mess, the wreckage, and the ruins of the past? And today I've come to announce to you that the Lord says he is erasing the memory. He is erasing the painful place of the past. And he is erasing this day, the brokenness, even that imprint of the memory. You have honeycomb in the background today. In fact, that's what the video is. How many of you know that to find out if your honey at home is authentic or not, there's a test you can do? And I did it for a friend. Check it and see if that video is there. It's not. Okay, no worries. I have it on my phone, and I'll be happy to send it to Donna and Pastor Ron. But if you get a little spoon size measurement of honey, and you pour a little bit of water in that honey, take the water and stir it around clockwise a couple times, what starts happening to the honey is the memory of the honeycomb comes back. And that, oh yeah, I have it on my phone. The memory of the honeycomb comes back. And what will happen is you'll start to see the honeycomb form in that little spoon size of honey. Because it does not forget. It does not forget its origin. It does not forget. In this day, I've come to tell you that Jesus Christ has come. That every area that has held us up, that has held back, that has even bound in chains, I've come to announce to you this day that there is a fresh wind. The Ruach of God is in this place, and he is breathing on you. He is breathing in you even now. Take a deep breath. Ho! That you will remember no more. He is giving you a Manasseh like he gave Joseph. That you will remember your pain no more. Ho! Oh, he is giving you a Manasseh. And he even went before you and placed honeycomb in the background to tell you that he had to do the work here in this church and in this congregation, and he's still fast at work and large at work, that you will then turn and move in your city and in your region, throughout your state and beyond. Oh, glory, 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 glory. This morning, the Lord is healing even hearts where there has been disbelief. I had this conversation with Donna this morning. We all have places in our heart. And she said recently she even talked about disbelief and unbelief. So lift your hands. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that areas that you have spoken to us, given us words, whole words years ago that many of us know. I thank you, Lord, that today there is a stirring in our hearts. Today there is a stirring to bring back that which you have promised, that which has died prematurely. We thank you, Lord, that today there is a supernatural touch on every one of us to stir those things that you have promised from the past. Those things that you put inside of our DNA, our skills, our strengths, our giftings, today they're being stirred. Everything that's been forgotten, Lord, you are moving and breathing on hearts, and you are moving and breathing even for those who have suffered multiple losses and multiple dying to self and deaths. Today there is a resurrection power in this place. And he's starting with you, this congregation. And it's not only about you, but he's doing a miracle today. There's a grace that you will turn and you will pour out in your city. And you will pour out in your region. And you will pour out throughout the state and in this country. This is not it. This is not the end. The Lord says, for I have chosen you and set you apart. I have chosen your age demographic. Intentionally, for you have much to pour out. You have much wisdom. You have much that is lost in the younger generation. You have so much, and this day it is being stirred. The Lord says, come forth, even as Lazarus. Come forth this day. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. He said, I will pour out my spirit on young men. I will pour out my spirit on old men. I will pour out my spirit. And there are some who have felt, because of your age, because of brokenness and your experiences, there are some who have felt that it's over. Not only did you retire, but your heart retired. And the Lord says, this day I've called you, and I'm saying to you what I said to Lazarus, come forth. Come forth, I'm calling you out. And many, you are going to even be moved into a place of rest from your wrestling, of rest from your restlessness. For when there's lack of purpose, there becomes restlessness and wrestling. And the Lord says, today, I've come to give you rest. And you will see that even as you enter into this place of rest in me, you are going to accomplish far greater than you did when you wrestled. Whew. You're going to accomplish far greater than you did when you worked hard, when you toiled and did the whole Martha experience. It's time to shift to Mary. It's time to shift to intimacy. It's time to shift, and he's breaking up the fallow ground in hearts even this morning. Because everyone within the sound of my voice has great purpose. Great purpose. Somebody say, I have great purpose. Purpose. Everyone in this place has great purpose. And it is when we have lost sight of that purpose and hope feels and becomes deferred that we can get off track. We can become angry, upset, frustrated, because we were created for this great purpose. Your gifts, your talents, everything about you is inside, and it needs to work. It needs to move. It needs to be given to the world. And there are some who say, well, I don't have any opportunity to use my gift. The Lord is going to begin to create even the smallest of opportunities. He's going to begin to give you opportunities, even if it's a teeny, just tiny pinhole, like a little glimmer. As you open up and take those opportunities and begin to use them, just like the talents in Matthew 25, when they were given the talents and they used and invested their talents, what happened to those talents? They multiplied, they doubled. So even if it's the smallest opportunity, if you can sing, even if you start just by singing in the shower, singing to your dog, singing out on your porch, start somewhere. Today I've come even as a supernatural defibrillator to tell you that things are going to start stirring. Your purpose and who you are, identity that this is all wrapped up in, it's going to start stirring. And so any little, just the smallest of opportunity, take it. Grab onto it. Grab onto it. Don't be like the person who buried their talent because they were called wicked. There are some who don't have your talents. And maybe your talent is weeping because you've been through hell. If that's you, I can absolutely relate. Absolutely relate. But it's in that weeping and it's in that place of brokenness that the Lord can use you greatly. Your pastor stood up here and talked about a desperation for God. The only way God can birth power in us is when we're broken like the body of Jesus. So if that's been your life, you're in good company. If that's been your life, there's two choices. It can make you bitter or it can make you better. And so today, I believe the Lord is recalibrating us. He's recalibrating our hearts. He's recalibrating. So thank you, Lord. I bless this congregation. I bless every person within the sound of my voice. I bless everyone. The worship team, can I have you come up here? The Lord gave me a word for you, and I want to just quickly give it. Thank you, Lord. Pardon? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whew. If you would stretch out your hands, worship team. Beautiful worship team. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I bless every person on this team. I bless every person on this team. I thank you, Lord. If you're on the worship team, put your hands out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless every person on this team. I thank you, Lord, for the resurgence. I thank you, Lord, for even the death to self that you've had many in the process of. It's been so intentional because that desperation is what births anointing. I thank you, Lord. Think it not strange if you've been going through a dying of self, because it's in that desperation. It's in that desperation you have been called out this day. It's in that desperation that the anointing is birthed. Thank you, Lord. And if you're not desperate enough, this is why the Lord sometimes has to break us. This is why sometimes the Lord has to draw us to our knees, because we're not desperate unless we've gone through some things. So, Lord, I bless the desperation inside of every person. The brokenness, Lord, the broken body of Jesus even. I thank you, Lord, that you are birthing some Samuels from Hannah, where Hannah had to get desperate, where Hannah had to come into this drunken, desperate cry. I thank you, Lord, that no longer will we, anyone, walk with an orphan-type spirit with needs of others, but I decree, Lord, that their needs are being met emotionally, physically. Lord, every single need is being met. Whew, I thank you, Lord, that every need is being met, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are so intentional. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that there is has been a breaking. In worship, I saw that there has been a ground like cement that has taken much toil. And I also saw the worship team thinking, feeling, just like this consensus feeling, we've just not been good enough, or we just can't get to this place. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that was me. That was me breaking you. That was me creating a desperation and a seeking on the inside of you. It's the Lord. He wants you to know, because he has to break this tough ground. And this morning, I asked the Lord, because I'd heard that Pastor Ron does a joke every morning. And I asked the Lord, Lord, do you have a joke for me that no one, you know, something unique, something new. And the Lord, as he was talking about the worship team, he said, this morning, the joke's on hell. The joke's on hell. For it is in the breaking and the dying to self. The Lord says a dying off that he has been doing. He is going to bring the sweetest garment out of this place. He is bringing the sweetest garment, the sweetest raiment. And the ground has been broken. The Lord says, church, thank you. Of much prayer that is gone, even over the worship team. Today is a day of fulfillment, for the breaker is here. And the Lord says, today things are going to happen in a new manner. Today, a new thing is springing forth. A new day is dawning. You will never be the same. So I bless every single one of you. And Lord, I thank you for the desperation for a new place. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've drawn them to their knees. And even some, you're going to be drawn even deeper in that place. Because it's in that place that the most beautiful anointing of Jesus is being birthed on this worship team. Think it not strange that the Lord has been at work molding. Molding never feels good. And molding is never comfortable. But nothing great has ever been birthed in comfort. So know this day that the Lord has called you out. He's called you to greater. And greater means deeper, drawn on your knees. And greater means to a deeper place in him, and even a deeper place of brokenness for some. For this day, the Lord is moving you forward. I see you marching in alignment. I see you marching in a form and in order. I see a unity being created. I see the Lord breathing his ruach upon you even now. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've come here to announce to you that there is so much more than the worship of only this church. There's so much more. And anyone who's done something great has had to be broken. I came to announce to you, if you allow the Lord to draw you to that place of beauty in him, he wants you to know you're going to stretch. This worship team will stretch far beyond these walls. Far beyond these walls. It's up to you. Today he's breathing his ruach upon you. So I bless you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Whew, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. I have some corporate words that I'll read later, but I want to pay attention to time. Whew. Is it? Oh, you guys want to see the honey test? Might as well. Okay. Awesome. It's funny. My girlfriend, Christine Vales, does a Hebrew calendar, and she has honeycomb for the year 5780 because it's the year of confession. And so she was emphasizing how important it is to speak life and not death, because we reap what we speak. And so I asked her if she'd seen that honeycomb test, so I videotaped my own. So I'm being a little silly in here, because I was meant to send to a friend until the Lord showed me this morning that he was erasing painful memories and the correlation of this. So yeah, please play it.
Hi, guys. So Hello. We did something today.
We did not.
I did a search on Facebook Marketplace.
I think.
Yeah. And I found someone in our area.
Oh, you found it on YouTube.
Bought some.
No, nice local honey.
Yeah, okay,
so
that's good.
He had a bright idea that we would do a test.
Well, I seen it on Facebook as you scroll in, and sometimes those little video clips are up of people testing honey, and it's supposed to go back into the shape of a honeycomb.
We're going to try
it. So I figured, why not?
Okay, so what are we doing?
We're going to scoop a little bit into a bowl. I'm not really sure how
I think
much.
That's good. It looks, on the video, it looked like that was about what she had. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to waste it because...
No, it was expensive.
It's good stuff.
But it's real, and I'm going to make granola bars with it.
Set that in there. So then she just added some water.
And then
you're supposed to stir it.
Swirl it, yeah. And it's supposed to go back to the shape or form the shape.
We can, it's actually forming already. Look at that.
Glory. Praise God.
Wow.
It's already forming the shape.
That's so cool.
Can you guys see that? That's what the honeycomb
looked
like.
Oh my gosh. He had a bunch of bead boxes in his yard.
Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
We don't have fake honey to do a comparison, but, you know.
That's pretty
all
awesome.
All natural honey right there. Yay. Yeah. So, yeah, you can see the little.
Can you see the ridges?
All right. That's cool. Good. That's good.
All
thank
right,
you,
guys.
Wendy. Thank you. That's awesome. God is good. There's so much encrypted in the DNA of something. It's just the genome. It's just mind-blowing. Unless you're a scientist or that's your thing, it's amazing and intriguing the way we were created. But it sure has a lot to do with the way he created us, the way he created things, the memory of something that it's in our DNA. And who you are. What we were created to do and be, and it's all greatness. It's never mediocre, ever. And so it's interesting how the Lord, without even realizing, you know, there's probably honeycomb for many reasons on the backdrop, but that's a pretty incredible reason. And to me, my friend Christine Vale, she's on Elijah list. Her calendar, her postcard for the year of 5780 on the tongue of the person, because it's a year of making declarations. It's the year of the declaration. On the tongue of the person, she puts honeycomb. So I really believe that there is, you know, it's no coincidence that this is your year. This is your year. This is your year. Somebody say, this is our year. Somebody say, this is my year.
It's my year.
Amen. This is your year. Praise God. He's always doing amazing things, isn't he?
Yes.
All right. Well, this morning I have a very, thankfully, a short message. Sometimes when visiting churches and visiting places, and we talked about this yesterday, the less you say we say, the better. Because the best thing that we can do, as I can do as an itinerant minister, is bring Jesus to you. He's so precious. He's so real. And he's here this morning. So this morning, I want all eyes on Jesus. So I just want to declare that. Lord, I declare that I will decrease, that we didn't come to see man or hear man, but Lord, today we've come to lift up the name of Jesus. So I thank you that help us if we didn't check our stuff at the door. I declare all of us, Lord, that we just check everything at the door. Help us to have a new clay, piece of clay. Help our hearts to be like a new piece of clay this morning that you can mold and form. Thank you, God. Well, this morning I want to talk about something just so funny how God brings up messages. I had a message prepared, and I don't know if it was yesterday. I was sitting with Pastor Donna out on the patio. And she'd served some toast with flax in it, flaxseed. And there was this one little piece of flax that fell off the bread, and it wouldn't go away. And so sometimes the Lord will try to tell us something over and over and over, and we're just like, ah, okay, I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep going, and I'm really guilty of that. And so he kept letting this little piece of flax come back. I don't know how or what. Even this morning in the car, there was a piece of flax from the toast that just was on the seat. And I'm like, okay, Lord, yes, yes, I get it. You know, this is awesome. You are saying something. And so we started to look up together about flax. And the Lord drew that script, the scripture in Isaiah 42:3. Would you turn there in your word? Isaiah 42:3. We're not going to go, we won't read the chapter. In fact, it's really only part A of the verse. But at the time of Isaiah, it's good to know before you read something. It's good to know what was going on with the culture. It's good to know what was going on during that time, right? Isaiah was brought as a prophet to speak to Judea and Jerusalem about their folly, about turning their hearts from God. He gave a lot of prophecy about warning, probably up to the 39th chapter. But then when you hit 40 and beyond, he gives a message of hope, a message that the Messiah is coming back. And so this has to do with hope, but it's really good to know. How many have been to Israel? How many of you feel like you know the culture, the Hebrew culture? Okay. It's so interesting as you begin to read the Bible, so interesting that the rich culture that this word, 66 books were written by different authors. And it's difficult to know what the author is saying unless you go in and learn the culture, right? Have you ever visited another country? If someone were to come to this country from China or India, right, or somewhere in Asia, and it's raining outside and someone says, oh boy, it's raining cats and dogs, what is this person from another country going to say? They're going to look outside and say, what are you talking? You Americans amaze me, right? What are you saying? Or if you're joking with them and they say, you're pulling my leg, they're going to say, I didn't touch you. It's a culture shock. Right? And so reading the Word of God, it's kind of important to dig a little deeper, especially when you feel like the Lord is saying something to you. And so when the Lord dropped that piece of flax and the flax seed, it really made me dig deeper. It was Don and I sitting out on the patio, and we looked at different versions. And it's funny because an American interpretation of this was a little bit different than looking into the Hebrew culture in somebody who has studied Torah who lives in Israel, a Torah scholar or a rabbi. So I looked up a rabbinic study on this, and it was very different. And so let me read it. Isaiah 42:3. This is part A of the verse. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. When you read that at face value, okay, you know, it kind of sounds like we all know what a reed is. It kind of sounds like a reed. He's not going to break a reed when it's bruised, so that's good. And a smoking flax shall he not quench. That one's kind of tough to understand. And so I did a little bit deeper of a study and looked into the word reed. And so the word reed in Hebrew is the word kaneh. So a bruised kaneh shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Well, I want to pause that and float it as a balloon for a minute and go into something. There's a double meaning in this word, kaneh. And so we kind of have to take a look into the history to find out why the author used that word. Has anyone ever thought about David's musical origin? King David was a shepherd, right, for the longest time. In fact, speaking of breaking, he was the least in his family, which I think is interesting. I really like about David. I told you I was going to do a thumbs up, didn't I? Okay, so King David, before he was King David, he was a shepherd, and he spent much time in solitude because there was no social media. There was no internet. And so David was out there with his sheep, but often in solitude. And so many shepherds, if they had a musical ability, what they would do, it was very common in the culture, is they would be out in the among the reeds and rivers and valleys and such. And so when they were passing time, if they had a musical ability, they would take reeds and play with them. Well, it turns out they would begin to bind up two reeds together, and they would hollow them out and create holes in them and make a flute. And so that was the culture, and it was known in the culture. And so if you were a shepherd and you had any musical ability, you'd be out there for hours and hours and hours with the flute, playing the flute. And so when someone in Hebrew would say the word kaneh, they weren't only talking about a reed. They were also talking about these flutes. And also it had to do with the shepherds who would be out there who had musical ability. They'd be playing for hours and hours and hours. And so they'd spent countless hours playing this easily made but yet very fragile flute. And so this is what it looked like. It's kind of cool. It was very fragile, just made out of a reed, made out of two reeds with some holes in them. And they'd become accustomed to these, and they'd kind of grow an attachment to these reeds, to these flutes. And so if the flute became damaged in the slightest, what a shepherd would do, this was very known, the shepherd would take the flute, throw it on the ground, and stomp on it and break it. They didn't have readily trash cans. So they'd throw the flute down, stomp on the flute, and break it, and then they'd just make another one. Because the reeds were easy to come by. Very interesting. And so the whole concept behind Isaiah 42:3, it's hard to understand what God is saying unless you know this about shepherds who had musical ability. So it makes sense why David became such a beautiful musician. Not only was he out there in solitude worshiping, constantly worshiping, he was so, this message, I didn't even realize it is so for the worship team this morning. David was the least in his family. If you look in the Bible where it says, everyone thinks it says David was the youngest, look at that word youngest. It's the word katan. Katan does not mean youngest. It means least. He wasn't the youngest. David, when Samuel came to anoint the king at dinner, who was not invited to dinner? David. Because David was being broken by God. Somebody's got to hear this. David was busy being the least. His mother was a Moabite, right? We talked about Ruth this morning. That was not good. Moabites could not enter the congregation of Israel. That's why Ruth needed that miracle from Boaz. And so David's father had issues with David because of his mother. And so David was busy being out and being broken. Learning the musical ability. Very interesting. So obviously, regarding the flute, it was easier to repair a broken flute than an old one. It didn't take much to total out the flute. I'm going to skip the Frederick Douglass quote. Has anyone heard this quote by Frederick Douglass? It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. He had a very good point. Right? It's easier to repair strong, build strong children than to repair broken men. I believe there's something in that quote for this church, for the next generation. Because many in here know what it's like to be broken, and it's been really difficult in being repaired. God can do it, and he's doing it. There's a restoration, but you have so much impact for this next generation. I hope you hear. I hope you hear, because it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. There's something beautiful in that for this church. And so many times regarding the flute, shepherds would form an attachment to this flute and develop sentimental feelings for the instrument. So after a while, if you develop strong attachment to your flute, when it breaks or becomes impaired, you're not going to throw it on the ground, stomp it out, and break it. You're going to repair the old flute. And so it was kind of a known thing back then in the culture. And so it's very interesting that many shepherds would bind up their broken flute parts, and they would make beautiful music again with their favorite flute. This is where that comes from in that scripture. So Has anyone in here ever felt like a broken flute? Right? Or should we say a bruised reed? Right? Expecting to be thrown out or replaced. Because that's the culture we live in today. We live in such a throwaway culture. Right? This person's been too bruised, too broken. They can't XYZ, fill in the blank. But that's not God's culture. That's not kingdom. There is divine design built inside of all of us. And so the prophet Isaiah was saying so much more than just talking about the broken reed, the bruised reed. Very interesting. And I want to show you one more thing about this word. Okay, let's read it again. Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Okay, the word reed, kane, it was actually used instead of the word flute, because you think, well, why wouldn't Isaiah use the word flute, right? A bruised flute shall he not break. But the word flute is this word ulgob, but he didn't use that. Sometimes writers will do a play on words, kind of like the play on words regarding plaque and plaque, right? Receiving a trophy plaque and plaque in your arteries. And so kane, this word, in Hebrew, many words have multiple definitions, multiple meanings. Kane also means to redeem or purchase in the sense of redemption. Wow. That's what it means in Hebrew. So the writer is doing a play on words here. A bruised kane shall he not break, right? Because there's redemption value in every single one of us. And we know that someone paid the price. We took communion this morning to hear this word. So it means to redeem or purchase in the sense of redemption. So we've all been bruised in many ways by life. He's not going to throw us out. Like a shepherd does, the Lord lovingly pieces us back together. And I believe many in this room, one of the words I got during worship was that you're being given second chances. There are some relationships that have been very broken, and you want to make it right. And the Lord showed me that there is now a grace being released to mend broken relationships. There are second chances. So somebody in here say, I'm getting a second chance. I'm getting a second chance. Someone say, I'm getting a third chance. There is a grace today for second chances. This shepherd will not throw us out. He will not throw things out. Sometimes we've given up, but there are areas in your heart you've given up, but the Lord's come to say, I'm not giving up on that. There is hope. Even if you see the tiniest, smallest glimmer of hope, there is hope. So he is lovingly today piecing things back together in our lives, in our hearts. And today for some where hope has been deferred, removed, or even just plain absent, today the Lord is come to restore hope. So that like a flute, with him we can make beautiful music. Now, I'm not going to go into the smoking flax. We don't have time, but it's very much the same as the flute. In biblical times, they had oil lamps. And so what they did was they filled up lamps with oil, and they would take a piece of flax and put it in to act as a wick. Someone's saying, yes, they know that, right? And so you light it and utilize the oil lamp, and the oil goes out. And what they would do is they'd remove that piece of flax and toss it out. It was a known thing in the culture. And then they'd refill and add oil and get a brand new piece of flax to use as a wick. So this is why he's saying he's not going to quench out flax. So basically, the writer's saying two times something that is so ingrained in the culture that it's hard to understand unless you know the culture or study the culture a little bit. There's so much in the Word of God to be excavated and unearthed. It's so beautiful because it's alive. It's powerful. And because of that, we really have to look at the Bible and the Word of God with so much more than just face value, especially when he's quickening your spirit. Because there's so much that he wants to do. So much. And so I want to read to you what the Lord showed me today in worship. And even before that, would you bow your heads? Lord, we thank you. We thank you today that we've all felt like a bruised reed, a flute that was about to get stepped on. And even some feel like they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop in many situations and even with people. I thank you, Lord, that that is not your heart for us. That, Lord, there is hope. If your word is real, then there is hope. If you're real, God, then there's hope. Otherwise, there's no point of even sitting in a church. Because either this word is real, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, or it's not. And we know we've seen enough. This is why the Lord always has us go back to old journals and read them. A few weeks ago, he sent me to read like 5 years worth of old journals to restore my faith where it had been wavering. And so, Lord, I thank you for every person here that has felt that has even wondered, what more could you possibly have? I thank you, Lord, that you have heard the cry of our hearts this morning. Many for the past 10 years, the Lord has heard the cry of your heart. Even things you wouldn't dare utter, but yet they're there. And they show sometimes in the brokenness of your life. But the Lord has come today as a restorer. He's come today as a repairer of the breach. And this morning he's given me this, that he's cleaning up misunderstandings between people. Even in this room, there are people who have had grave misunderstandings. Today, a grace is being released on you to restore and just to let go. Let go. Let go of pain, of hurt, loss, whatever it is that we're holding on to this morning. There's a grace to let it go. Whew. Thank you, Lord. There's a grace between people to make things right. In this very room. Whew. Whew. Glory. At the end of the book of Ruth, the last few words say that he had this baby, but this is the Lord telling you that he has come as a restorer of your life. He's come to restore your life. Where Naomi thought she had nothing left, she was going to go and throw in the towel. The Lord had some restoration yet for her. For many, there's such a restoration. Some, your identity is being recalibrated today to fit and match who God created you to be and to match your destiny. I declare over you in this room, over every one of us, that destiny is being unlocked. That destiny is being stirred on the inside of you. Where faith has faltered and become scarce, the Lord is restoring faith and he's restoring hope. There are some in here, you've been waiting on a miracle. You've been waiting on a miracle, and your miracle is here. The Lord says your miracle is here, and even in the next 7 days, some of you are going to begin testifying because your miracle is about to manifest. If you receive it, tell the Lord, I receive it. Some of you need huge miracles, and the Lord says, I don't think about size of miracles, because one small miracle or a great miracle is nothing to God. Your miracle is here today. Receive it. Glory. Glory. Lost and forgotten talents, skills, gifts, they're being restored right now. Whew. Abilities, opportunities to utilize your talents. The Lord says that some are going to be a small opportunity, but you're going to take hold of these. And the Lord says, do not bury this talent. When your opportunity comes, step on the train and go. If you take the opportunity you are given, it will not only double, it's going to double again. If you step out, don't worry about the person on your right or the left. They're standing before God on their own. The Lord says today, quit looking at the person on your right and on your left, for I have called you individually. He has called you individually to do great things. It has nothing to do with this person or that person. The Lord says, you start it. You go. You move. Glory. Glory. At the beginning of this year, I've been stepping out and ministering every chance I've gotten for years. But I get sometimes weighed down in doing projects for ministries and things like that, which is fine. I like that. I don't like to be in front. I'm always pushing other people to the front and saying, I'll manage it from the back because I don't care. And it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of responsibility to stand in this place. We're all accountable. But when you stand up here in front of other people, you're accountable for what you say. And you're accountable for what you don't say. That's huge. That's huge. And so things kind of seemed to have died off a little bit. I didn't have a whole lot of speaking engagements. And one day I was going to get my nails done in the city I live in North Carolina, in Knightdale. I was on my way to this nail salon. And the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, don't go to this nail salon. Go to the one on the other side of town. By the way, the other side of town is not the side of town I want to hang out on, just so you know. And so I kind of have dialogue with God. Well, God, I don't know if they're clean. I mean, I don't want to get a nail fungus. I mean, you know, your mind kicks in, and I got to be transparent and honest with you. My mind always kicks in, and the Lord's like, you know, he has to say it again and again and again. Thank God he's got grace. And so anyway, I end up going to this nail salon. It was a Vietnamese nail salon. I go in there, sit down, and of course I'm wondering, Lord, why do you have me here? And so I sit down, get my nails done. The lady doing my nails has a mask on, so she wasn't talking. The lady doing nails next to her name was Kina, she starts talking and starts asking me questions, and so does the lady who's in her, you know, getting her nails done next to me. And so I start talking with this young lady, Kina, and it turns out this is a Christian nail salon. And I had been really frustrated going to these other ones because there's always stuff that seems to happen. And for some reason, I try to be so nice, but for some reason, something inside of them often doesn't like me. And so, you know, it's a personal thing. You get your nails done, you want them to do a good job and be nice and not hurt you. And so I was happy thinking, thank you, Lord, you sent me to a Christian nail salon. And so anyway, by the time I left there, the girl I was talking to had all these different problems and asked me what I do. I told her I work for Elijah List, and she knew Elijah List. So I end up going to the back room with her, this back room where they do massages, and pray for her. And so the Holy Spirit touched her, and she just began crying and weeping. And I gave her a prophetic word about her family and her culture, that her family didn't understand her because she's very Americanized. They called her a rebel. But the Lord didn't call her a rebel. He called her out from among them. I didn't know her from Adam. She didn't tell me about her family. So anyway, so the Lord justified her, but it was about her purpose. And the Lord always sends me places where purpose needs to be either aligned or just confirmed, or the Lord says what he's doing about a purpose of a church, of a person, etc. And so turns out I start going to this nail salon, and every time I attend this salon, I send a message to the young lady and ask, what time can I come today? And every time for weeks, she says, they close at 7. She says, come at 6. So finally I caught on that each time I'd come, she'd have a new family member there who wants prayer in the back. And I thought that was really sweet. You know, her mom doesn't work in the salon. She brings her mom and just all this stuff. So this happens for several months, starting January of this year. Until there starts to be so many people who needed prayer, we couldn't do it on the nail salon site. And there starts to be customers that are brought over, you know, when I'm getting my nails done and stuff. And so anyway, I just began to serve in my own little tiny community who God put in front of me. In this nail salon, I could have said, you know, I'm not going to let you use me. These people were broken and hurting, and they needed Jesus. And they went to a type of church where the Holy Spirit really wasn't there. And so they weren't used to the touch of the Holy Spirit. So each one of them, they would just fall out weeping. It was so beautiful. And so eventually, we ended up having to gather in this one lady who has a big, beautiful house. We ended up having to gather in her house to do a prayer meeting, and people were getting set free left and right. It was so beautiful. And that led to them inviting me to Vietnam to minister to their home congregation. Yeah. Yeah. And so the way God works is sometimes he'll take you to one place, little small opportunity, and see if you're obedient. Maybe you'll be in a Starbucks and the Lord will say, tell this person I love them. Tell this person they're beautiful. And maybe that's all he says to say. Maybe that will be it. I remember in Washington, D.C., my friend Christine Vales and I, the second time we'd ever hung out together, we just decided, I felt led by the Lord, but we decided to walk up to a bunch of women in the mall in Washington, D.C., and just go up to them and look at them right in the eyes and say, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. That's it. There was nothing profound. There was no preaching or trying to get them to, you know, say the sinner's prayer and put a notch up on my wall. It was just going up to people and saying, you're beautiful. Because when you have Jesus on the inside of you, you can't keep him to yourself. And so I really believe the Lord is going to begin just to start testing your heart to see that tiny little bit. Will you be faithful with it? Will you be faithful with it? That tiny little bit. Maybe it's an insignificant ministry in the church and it's beneath you. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. The Lord's going to test our hearts because he's a God who tests before he promotes. He's a God who tests to see, will you love him anyway? Will you serve with all your heart, whether you like this person or that person? Will you give Jesus to the rest? Will you work unto Jesus when no one's looking? Hallelujah. That is the greatest test. Because what you do in secret, he will reward you openly. So to this day, I really believe that we've got to stop counting and taking account of this or that. Let it go. Today we're going to, someone say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go in Jesus' name. Whew. And I said this word earlier that God is bringing rest for restlessness. There's been a real great restlessness. I felt it sitting here. And it has to do with being aligned with your purpose. This house goes out of its way to align people with their purpose. However, you can't only rely on that. You have to really have a heart and a relationship with God. You really do, because he wants to align us with purpose. So the restlessness, as we become aligned with purpose, I really believe that that's going to go. And the wrestling is going to come to a place of rest. And lastly, there's been some abandonment. So if you would bow your head, I want to just close in prayer, but I want to pray into that for a moment. And if you can't, open your hands to receive. Today, it's your turn to receive. I said that on Thursday. Some of you are such givers, and the Lord wants you to receive today. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Whew. You are in this house, Lord. We thank you and we honor you. We praise you, Jesus. We come in your name. We come this day that every one of us might have life. You've come that we might have life. And have it more abundantly. So I declare over everyone here, any place where we are not living abundantly, I declare over us, Lord, that today there's a resurgence. There's a resurgence. The hope deferred that makes the heart sick, Lord. You said, but a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. I pray that hope deferred is being erased. I thank you, Lord, that hope deferred is being healed in hearts. I thank you, Lord, that hope deferred is something of the past, that even as we move into this next year, that, Lord, you're cleaning the slate. You're cleaning the slate of 2019, and some of us have carried things from other years, way, way, way back. And the Lord says, this day, he is cleaning the slate of the past, that you will not go into another year with that thing on your neck, your back, holding you down. No, these weights do not belong to you. So I speak over you a divine release. Release every weight, every area of disappointment. I thank you, Lord, that you're just doing a cleansing in this house right now. That we are going to reap promises fulfilled. I thank you, Lord, for giving us visions, for restoring dreams. I thank you, Lord, that today our portion is a tree of life in this place. And some who have felt so abandoned by circumstances, people you loved, people you trusted. Some not only abandonment, but just outright cruelty. Some betrayal. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you that the breaker is here. That Lord, your heart was broken first. Your heart was broken first, Lord. That we might be restored. Thank you, Lord, today, that even as these situations have come up to the surface, Lord, I thank you for the release. I thank you for wholeness, for shalom deep into our soul. I release shalom. Ho! Ho! Glory! Ho! Receive it. Receive shalom. There's a wholeness being imparted now. Ho! Ho! And there's a fresh anointing. Whew! Glory! Glory! Glory, glory, glory! Whew! There's a fresh anointing. Whew! The word says that the anointing of God destroys every yoke. I thank you, Lord, that yokes are being destroyed. Whew, not only in our life, Lord, but I thank you that yokes are being destroyed in the lives of those who we love. Yokes are being destroyed, Lord. Oh, and keys are being released to this congregation, Lord. For many situations that have been locked up in bars and chains, the Lord says today, I am releasing keys to freedom in this house. I'm releasing keys to freedom in this city and in this region. You are being given keys today from heaven. Ho! Glory. Ho! Ho! Angels in this city that are assigned to this region are partnering with this ministry. There's an alignment and a unity with the angelic even this day. The hosts are being aligned in a new way. And there are fresh warring angels. I see warring angels. You have unlocked in this city. You have so pleased the heart of God. You are partnering with heaven. Ho! Glory. Glory, you are being given keys. Things that have taken a long time with bureaucracy and all this other stuff. The Lord says you're being given keys, and watch the favor. The favor in this city is going to become great and increase. I see a layer in a veil that's being just thinned and thinned. You've been thinning it and thinning it and thinning it. And the Lord says today it's being removed. No veil. Ho. Ho. This city is about to meet Jesus like they have never met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ho! Ho! And as far as your eyes can see, though I feel like the Lord says, I dare you. As far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see. Some of you are from another country. Raise your hand. The Lord says, as far as your eyes can see, this church will go. This house will go not only into those countries, but in so many of the nations, as far as your eyes can see.
Oh, glory. There is work to be done. And heaven is partnering with this house. Heaven is partnering with this house. Glory. And I have a word for the leaders. The Lord has called you to conquer much. He has called you to conquer great. And some, your eyes can see it. You have panoramic or aerial vision like a pilot. Some of you, you can see it. But the Lord says, don't worry about those who can't see it. They might have a myopic vision for a moment. But you do what you're called to do. Those who've been called and are answering the call in this house, the Lord says, do what you've been called to do. Don't worry about the resistance. Even in this house, there'll be resistance. But the Lord says that as soon as you break forth and break through, I am going to break you through barriers and barricades and boulders. And as soon as you break through, the rest are surely going to come along. They are going to see, and faith is going to rise in their hearts. So don't worry about them. Don't even comment. Don't say a word. Keep going. Because God is with you. He's on your side. He has called you for such a time as this. Oh, it is your time and it is your season. This day, the kingdom of heaven has been unlocked in a greater measure in the city, in government. Oh, somebody hear this word. Oh. Oh, the favor in this city is going to be insurmountable. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, glory. Glory. Thank you for pouring out your glory. Thank you for pouring out your glory here, Lord. Thank you that this house is a glory-carrying house. Raise your hands. I thank you for the release of a greater measure of glory in this home, Lord, because there is a governmental anointing on you as never before. Evangelistic anointing, teaching anointing, prophetic anointing. The Lord is pouring out glory. If you'll receive it, it is yours. It is yours. You are part of the greatest outpouring of glory yet to come. It is yours if you will receive it. Oh. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, God. Glory, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have paid the price, and the Lord is well pleased with this house. He's well pleased with this house. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise, and I thank you, Lord, that there's a special resurrection power, a very just incredible resurrection power, and it is yours. As far as your eyes can see, receive it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Amen. Somebody give Jesus some praise.